Rainmaker.fm is brought to you by Authority, the content marketing training and networking community dedicated to accelerating your skills and success. Registration for Authority will close to new members on Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Go to getauthority.com to learn more.
This is the mainframe. Welcome back, everybody, to our membership series. This episode, we're going to be talking about the minimal viable membership. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to my new iPhone arriving. They actually reissued my order and sent me an email saying, good news, you're actually going to get an iPhone even though we cancelled it.
Nice.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's an exciting thing. You can watch the tracking.
Well, I can't actually because it doesn't actually say where it's coming from or when it's going to arrive. But I've got the anticipation of knowing that something is going to come at some point.
Well, it's interesting, the whole idea of membership. That's one of the things I love about Amazon is you can track stuff through other stuff too. But they have their built-in tracking system in their area. Once you've logged in, you can actually see specific things about the tracking. And I always like that because it kind of gives me a little bit more detail about where things are. And also, UPS actually has a membership element to their site where if you set up a membership to the UPS site, even their free membership, you provide more tracking detail. And there's a couple examples of membership sites that you don't really think of as membership because UPS is this big conglomerate, does all this stuff, but you still have to give them an email address and sign up to be able to access stuff and listen to their offers so you can get more detail about your shipments.
That's a really good point. Actually, on those tracking emails, those dispatch emails, it does mention something about UPS and signing up for UPS, so I'll look into that. And that added information, the email notifications, and then logging in and seeing everything that pertains to your account, that is definitely something that businesses should look at as an advanced thing because that's better customer service. It adds and builds trust because you don't feel like you're being ripped off. Everything is in one place. You've got granular detail. And I love that when the order was dispatched and I paid for AppleCare, they actually had the serial number of the device in the notification, which is really nice because that's a solid piece of information that suggests that this product actually exists and it is going to be physically in my hands, because that buyer's remorse is a real risk when you're doing anything online, right?
Exactly. And that's one of those areas where, you know, this is, you know, Apple has this entire logistics system that does that. But that's a simple thing that you could do as part of a minimal viable membership, providing that kind of, you know, really solid information for more detail or to kind of reinforce that this purchase or this membership signup has been given you value. And it shows right there that you can provide, and you can provide that value even at a minimal viable membership, right? You don't have to, it doesn't have to be big and complicated just to start providing that basic value.
Yeah, the simplest thing to add that trust and take away a lot of the buyer's remorse is just to confirm the purchase. I had a purchase of a t-shirt yesterday and I went through the form. I said, I want large because I need large, unfortunately, as I get bigger. I need to get fit, but right now I need large. I chose the color. I went through the PayPal. It said return back to the merchant, return back to the site, and it took me to the homepage. So I know I've paid money, but I had no confirmation of my order, no email saying this is your order ID, no email confirming the receipt. And so I'm in limbo. Do I contact them and say, did the order go through, or do I just wait to see if it doesn't arrive? And that's a terrible experience. But it's so easy to do a thank you page.
It is, and that's what we're talking about here is the minimal elements you need to make the customer feel like they've been successful in the purchase and that they've made the right choice. And the example you just provided is one of those areas that really confuses people. They don't know what happened. Did something go wrong? Did something go right? What happened? There's no confirmation. So if I list real, I want to list real quickly those kind of things. So you definitely need your, you know, you need your sales letter, you know, your, you know, your landing page, your copy page that provides the offer. You need for the, a way for them to register or to check out. You need that thank you page, because that is the area I think that a lot of people miss. But you need a page to confirm that something has happened and to either let the customer know that the purchase has been successful, or it forwards them to that item or that membership access area that they just purchased. And then, of course, you need a login form for when people come back. And then, you know, that member page dashboard is the other kind of alternative you could have for a thank you page, right? Because that's where sending somebody to the membership area, especially if you have a way to display a welcome message or something like that, is another way to confirm that they've that the sign up or the purchase is gone through.
Absolutely, because there you're actually showing people what they've purchased. If it's not something you're going to be shipping, if it's not something that's going to arrive later, then just take them to what they've purchased. But as Tony just said, that welcome message, especially if you can dismiss it so it isn't there forever and an annoyance, is really cool to say, this is what you just did. And in usability and user experience, there's some concepts that we always have to make something usable. And one of the things is, you know what's going to happen when you make the click. But a lot of the times we forget to have the confirmation that what you expected to happen just happened. And that's when the doubt and uncertainty kicks in. It's like, did it work? Did it not work? Did I get what I signed up for? And sometimes we assume people understand and know that, of course you did. But if you want to reduce your uncertainty in your customers' minds and reduce support tickets, then you really need to actually spell out, this is what you just did. It was successful, and this is what to expect.
That's true. And then as you start to build things out, you have to start to make decisions. So we have the minimal elements you need, and I'll run through those real quick. You need your, again, you need your sales page. You need your the registration checkout page. You need a thank you or some type of confirmation, even if it's the ultimate dashboard you send them to. You need their login, so a login form so they can log in, and that confirmation or that membership dashboard area that you send people to. So once you kind of have those together, you kind of outline those out, what kind of decisions do you need to make at that point to how are you going to build out this minimal viable membership?
First one is, are you going to charge or is it going to be free? And if you're going to charge, is it going to be a one-off fee? Is it going to be a trial period? Is it going to be ongoing? Is it going to be a fixed term? So if we just run through those, free, obviously, a free membership, zero cost, they go straight in, they don't need any credit card or PayPal. But once you have paid, then you need to know, are you going to use PayPal, Stripe, Authorize.net, any of those? And is it going to be a single payment? Is it going to be seven payments? Or is it going to be monthly, weekly, annual? They're decisions you need to start making, because there are a lot of added tasks involved in that. You have to connect your merchant system or your PayPal. PayPal doesn't actually work in some countries, so you have to take that into account. And in Europe, we actually have new tax regime. I fortunately left Europe before this came in, because it's a little bit of a complicated mess. With Rainmaker, we integrate with Taxamo, which makes it a lot easier, but there's still added confusion with that, because they're now taxing digital products. So as soon as you start asking for money, these things come into play. So is it one-off, are there fixed number of payments, or is it monthly? And the whole payment thing, it's a big decision. You can start with free, or you can start with a low cost, and you can increase the price, you can make it a continuity later. But it's something to think about.
Yeah, and this is one of those areas where there can be a lot of confusion if you're looking at getting into a paid membership area, because how do you tackle that? There's actually some pretty easy ways to go about doing it. But the big concern is, like you just mentioned with the VAT tax. I mean, how is that handled, you know, from a small business perspective? And what do you do? I mean, One of the things we've tried to do with Rainmaker is to make sure that that was all integrated, so that you basically set up your membership site, you put in your Stripe account or your Authorize.net or whatever your payment system is, and then, you know, fortunately Taxamo will handle that stuff. But if you're looking at trying to get set up quickly and easily, it may make sense to start off with sort of a free thing and then grow into a paid product, right?
Yeah, and as far as I understand, if you have some manual intervention, say you're coaching somebody, answering questions, then a lot of those tax rules are a lot easier, and you might not have to pay those tax. But it's still something to consider and to look into. Now, in the United States, I believe it's a lot easier, but some other states are even considering it, so they're calling it Netflix tax.
Yeah.
So you need to look into these things. So free is obviously a lot easier, and you can get started without worrying about those things. If you're going to be paid, and obviously you're in business, you want to get paid eventually. It's definitely something to consider. But then beyond the payment, what is the thing that's going to keep people sticking around? So your minimal membership will have some content, some downloads. Maybe they get access to you. But what's going to keep them in future? So are you going to have a community? Are you going to drip out content over time? So is it going to be a time-released system?
And that's a great way to look at how to make the system work for you in a way that fits what it is that you're delivering when you're delivering. So, you know, you don't have to, if you're going to drip out content, you don't have to have all the content up front, although make sure that you have enough that you can easily drip it out over time. And also, if you're looking at adding a membership element, or I mean a community element like a forum, how is that going to be initially populated? Who's going to be running it? Who's going to be, you know, the one kind of in charge of keeping things sane in there? Because a lot of times in forums, you know, they can go either way. You can have, you know, a really great forum with interesting discussions that help people, or it can devolve into, you know, chaos. So that's another thing to take into account when you're looking at adding those things in, right?
Yeah, the community management is a big job. Don't underestimate the nature of online communities, because you can get some toxic members, or the existing members can just get out of hand, or if it looks like there's nobody steering the ship, it's kind of the broken windows thing where a few things slip through and then people think that there's nobody taking care of it. And so people start doing mean or messy things. So you do need to be setting the tone. You need to be moderating it. And on the other side, you need to be sparking conversation and inspiring people to contribute, because a quiet forum can seem like it's a waste of time.
Right. So, and then sort of the last decision you need to make is what type of levels of membership are you going to provide? Is it all going to be one level that everybody gets access to, or are you going to have different levels within the product that allows accesses to different things, different types of groups and permissions? And you need to figure out the best way to set those up, right?
Yeah, and different membership software implements it in a different way, but they all have this concept that you have groups and you can be in more than one group. So Tony can be in the cosplay group as well as the online data geeks group and get content from each. I might be in the online data geeks group and in the prop makers group. So we both see one element, but we all have our own access to different things. So it's not like you sign up and you have to sign up as a completely different user to get different access. You can add that access to your user, to your login, and see what you're allowed to see and not see what you're not allowed to see. And then the public, without logging in, doesn't see any of the private stuff. So you need to decide who sees what. And it kind of looks like a Venn diagram, overlapping circles of interest. So you might find that everybody has access to the free stuff, but you have to log in to get it. The public doesn't see it. Google doesn't see it. You have to log in. And then what are your paid levels? Are you going to have silver, gold, and platinum? Maybe platinum has access to a super secret area of the site nobody even knows about. And you just do that through the membership groups and then giving permission to those groups to the content.
Now, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about requires a lot of, you know, direct setup and intervention. But the big thing with a lot of membership software, the way to set this up for a membership site is automating it. And that's one of the areas we really need to focus on, because that's what makes the minimal viable membership easier to get up and going, because you can set up some of this automation and let it run.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
So let's talk about some of the membership automation pieces that different membership software offers to allow, you know, you to sort of not have to do all this yourself. It's kind of the next best thing of having your own clones. I mean, your own Sarah and Cosima, but, you know, not quite as attractive. So,
yeah, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. But I did run a membership on my own, and it's partly due to automation. So a lot of the stuff we talked about was the setup. But the ongoing, continuing effort, a lot of it can be automated. And the easiest one to start with is the drip, because a lot of membership content has to be created and then given out. You have to set access. But you don't want to do all of it at once and then have people overwhelmed with the amount of content that they have to consume and then quit because they feel like they're not getting value because they're not keeping up. So the drip allows you to say, okay, this content will appear on Tuesday, this appears on Wednesday, this Thursday, Friday, or this appears 3 days after they sign up, this appears 7 days after they sign up. So the drip is basically saying this content is delayed. And the way we've got set it up on Rainmaker is, especially on the courses, you don't really want to give people the advanced stuff until they've done the foundational stuff. But some people really, they want to get going and they want to download everything. And it might be out of fear. It might be because they want to copy everything and then cancel or refund. So the drip has a way of limiting people so they actually consume. Now, you do need to support that with other things. Like, you have to, as Brian Clark says, sell the lesson. Don't just dump some content on there and expect people to consume it. You have to use some copywriting techniques to invite people to check the content out and go through it and take action on it. But that interaction joined with a drip will mean that you're not ripped off quite as much. They get the value out of it. They actually consume it and take action on it. And so that's a really important piece. And it means that you can batch your work. You can do all your work on a Monday, but your members see it appearing for the next week or so. So that means you don't have to be going in there every day creating content. You can create, and then you can promote in two different batches.
And another key automation feature of any good membership software along with a drip is the ability to do trial periods and split out your payments and automatic refunds and cancellations, where you can allow the customer to handle a lot of that on their own, right?
Yeah, and that's really important as well, because you don't want to be spending all your time in handling payments and chasing payments. And one of the reasons I didn't want to be a freelancer anymore was chasing people for payments. And in the end, I stopped invoicing people and said, okay, here's some PayPal buttons. If you want me to work for you, you're going to have to pay in advance. And that is going to kick off that task, you paying, because I was always chasing people. With a membership site, you can't use invoices. It's just going to be unmanageable. So you need some way of making sure that if somebody hasn't paid, they lose their access. If they have paid, they do get their access. You don't want to be manually handling the books for a membership site of 1,000 people. It just wouldn't work. So they need to be able to cancel their own membership. And that actually adds trust. Having a cancel button where people have control over their own membership actually keeps people sticking around, because they trust you that they don't have to send 3 faxes with carbon paper triplicate through the post with a photograph of the grandma just to get off this thing.
Right. And another area that you can allow them is update your profile, update email address, password recovery, that sort of thing. that allows that to be more of an automated process and kind of hands off for you running the membership site. But one area that really you can kind of capitalize on the automation piece are automated upsells and upgrades, right?
Yeah, because that allows you to, in a low-pressure way, increase your revenue. So you don't have to turn into this constant sales machine. You don't have to be begging them. They can see visually that there are other options, that there are features that they're missing out on that they might want to take up. And we do this really quietly on MyCopyBlogger right now. So if you sign up for the free MyCopyBlogger membership, you can actually look around and see that there's content that is available to authority members that the free people don't get. And it just says, you don't have access to this right now, sign up here. And it's implicit. It's not necessarily always giving you a sales message. It's just saying, that thing that you just tried to look at, you don't have access to it, but you can easily get access to it right away if you do this.
And the other piece is tying in the email. So you can set up email alerts and, you know, you move list opt-ins and removal from lists, all automated through the software, and allow the emails to be handled the same way.
Yeah, and with our marketing automation tools, you can actually do that beyond just signing up for a membership. You can actually incrementally add them to more lists. So say somebody goes into the area that's talking about Boba Fett and the Mandalorians, you could say, oh, they're interested in Boba Fett, so let's add them to the Boba Fett list. And that'll add to the stickiness because it's actually appealing to their actual interests.
And then sort of the last area that really you can automate, or one of the main areas, is the content visibility, what's restricted, and onboarding. And that can be all together if you think about it as one thing, because onboarding provides initial content to get people up to speed. And then you show or restrict specific content depending on how long they've been a member of the site, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that we often overlook with onboarding is what we were saying before about that assumption that people know what to do, that they've been in a community before, that they've been on a forum before, that they know how to handle their emails, what to expect. So that onboarding process could be some getting started content. And the great thing about automating this is that it can gently introduce you to the various valuable aspects of this membership, not in a salesy or marketing way, but in a, hey, have you checked this out? Have you done this? Have you added yourself to the introduce yourself forum thread? And introducing yourself actually introduces you to the forum software because you've typed out a message. You might have added a picture of yourself. You use some of the tools like, oh, this is how you add bullets. And it's like those computer games where the first level teaches you how to play the game.
So when we're talking about the minimum viable membership, the key things you need to think about are the main elements you need to get started. So you need your sales page, registration, and your checkout. You need to have a thank you page or a confirmation page, the login form, and then the member page or dashboard. The next thing you need to do is decide, are you going to be offering a free or a paid version of the site, and other decisions like, are you going to have a forum or drip the content out? You need to look at the software and make sure it can handle things like paid items with, you know, European taxes and other taxes, and can it handle forum and drip content? And finally, how much of that can you automate? How much of that can you put into a system that you can kind of set and forget so you can focus on the content, focus on the community, and do what you need to do while allowing the software to kind of automate all the membership tasks for you?
So the next episode, we're going to be talking about retaining customers with membership communities and how you keep people sticking around long term.